Good morning. Happy Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. I want to start this morning with this beautiful quote that says, "Be kind. Everyone is fighting a hard battle." There's a deep amount of truth here. This quote has been contributed to many great people across the history because we don't know exactly who said it. But anyone you are eyeball to eyeball with is juggling joy and pain, confusion and hope. I had an unseen battle going on for a long time myself. I used to spend copious amounts of time, emotional energy, leaving me in anguish about how people perceived me. I would keep me up at night, dictate how I spent my money, rob me of joy. It's a drug that's often called image management, hoping that one more success, one more added skill would make me feel good enough before others and before God. But that's not really how grace works. It's not really a heavenly perspective. Through embracing Jesus' death, that forgives our sin, and living in the power of his resurrection, we receive a gift from God that's more powerful than anything we can imagine. There was one of the most prolific writers in the last 200 years named G.K. Chesterton, and he lived in the 20th century, and he decided as an adult to become a follower of Jesus. And because he was such a well-known writer at the time, he was interviewed about it, and a lot of people were writing about it. One reporter came up to him and said this: "Standing on a London street corner, G.K. Chesterton was approached by a newspaper reporter. 'Sir, I understand that you recently became a Christian. May I ask you one question?' 'Certainly,' replied Chesterton. 'If the risen Christ suddenly appeared to you this very moment and stood behind you, what would you do?' Chesterton looked the reporter squarely in the eye and said, 'He is.' Is this mere figure of speech, wishful thinking, a piece of pious rhetoric? No, this truth is the most real fact about our life. It is our life. The Jesus who walked the roads of Judea and Galilee is the one who stands behind us. The Christ of history is the Christ of faith." From Brennan Manning, Abba's Child. Chesterton believed the truth of the matter at all, that the resurrection means that Christ is with us at all times, comforting us, guiding us, strengthening us in all of our unseen battles. There's a woman and a few men who were the first at the scene of Jesus' empty tomb, and they weren't sure what they saw at first. They weren't sure how to understand what they were seeing before their eyes when they arrived. We're going to read it in John chapter 20, verse 1, where it says, "Early on the Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said, 'They've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him.'" They have taken him, they being Roman guards or thieves. Someone stole him. Not an uncommon thing. People would often bury people with things of items of value, of wealth. And so grave robbers would steal the body immediately. And then once they're far enough away, they would take what they wanted and leave the body to rot. And Mary Magdalene has been following Jesus for a while. She's someone that Jesus healed years ago of a demonic possession. And she is going to probably finish, pay her respects and do some burial rites at the end here. And she sees that the tomb is open and he's gone. And she says she went and told Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. That the one who Jesus loved is the Apostle John, who's actually narrating, you know, the Gospel of John here. And he never uses his name. He just says, I'm the one that Jesus loved. He knew his identity was wrapped up in that. I think it's also just kind of funny. It's like, yeah, you're Simon Peter and you're Mark, but I'm the one that Jesus loved. And it goes on, it says, Peter and the other disciple, John, started out for the tomb. They were both running. I love this. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Yeah, John, he's not competitive at all. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. The inclusion of so many details here around the linen wrappings and where they are, it's to reveal that Jesus' body wasn't stolen. These linen wrappings were the thing that was most costly buried with Jesus. These are the things that would have been sold or for wealth. So they would have been the first things taken, but they've been left behind. Then it says, then the disciple who had reached the tomb first, John adds it in there again, also went in, John, and he saw and believed. He has a moment there. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. And here John has his light bulb moment. What does he see in this moment? He sees the proof that the resurrection happened, the fulfillment of the scriptures that Jesus would not stay dead, that death would be overcome. So I pose this question to us this morning, of what do you see in the resurrection? Mary, who was the first one at the tomb, she doesn't see this as a resurrection. It goes in verse 11, it says, Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. And she's so distraught, confused, that even the appearance of angels doesn't seem to faze her in this moment. She responds, she says, because they have taken away my Lord. She replied, I don't know where they have put him. It's been hard enough for Mary that she's followed Jesus for years, believed he was the Messiah, and then watched him die. And now his body's been stolen. She thinks it's left to rot somewhere. It says in verse 14, Mary, she turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? And you can hear the smile on Jesus' face. I love this part. She thought he was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him and I will go get him. I bet for years after this event, when people would come to Mary and say, Mary, you were the first person to see Jesus, the risen Lord. What was it like? She probably laughed out loud and said, I thought he was the gardener. What did Mary see? She wasn't expecting to see the resurrection. She was expecting to see a common laborer there to plant tulips. In the midst of her pain, her grief, her confusion, she lost sight that Jesus was right there in front of her. And then Jesus does something beautiful. He says her name. Mary, Jesus said. The amazing power when God calls us by name, which he does for you and for me, calling us to see Jesus as he truly is, our resurrected Savior. It says she turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. She's clicked in. She's realized who he is. And Jesus says, don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, back to heaven. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. And then she gave them this message. Go and find my brothers and tell them. Jesus is sending Mary to the other disciples. Mary is the first person to see, talk to, and touch the resurrected Lord. And I think this is very important to note that in first century Jewish culture, women were not allowed to be a witness in court. They weren't allowed to give testimony. It wasn't valid. So if Jesus' followers had so badly wanted to make up a story that Jesus wasn't dead and to keep his movement alive, they would never have used a woman as the first eyewitness in telling others. Further proof that this is a historical event with an impact for eternity. The resurrection event is what took a bunch of scared men, the disciples. They were hiding behind closed doors, locked, thinking Jesus has been dead. Jesus is dead. We're likely next. The rulers are going to come after us. And then when they see the resurrected Lord, they go from hiding behind these locked doors to out in public, proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God, with whom alone is salvation, and being willing to risk their lives because they saw a dead man walking. And for those of us who follow Jesus now, we are now empowered to live a life of love that reflects who Jesus is. The Apostle Paul said it this way, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. we are not left to fend for ourselves. The very power of God that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that lives in us. This is why I could never leave the Christian faith, because I've seen the difference the resurrected power of Christ has made in my own life, but also those in my church family and friends. Christ has redeemed situations that I'd write off as broken for good. Christ has rescued people from addiction to substances. Christ has healed people both of physical issues and deep emotional pain. Christ has put lonely people into families. Christ has comforted those who are grieving, giving hope beyond the grave. Christ has healed marriages, and Christ has comforted those whose marriage didn't heal. Christ has been our ever-present help in time of need, more faithful than any friend or spouse could ever be. Celebrating his present risenness today, his presence with me and everything, he's alive, he has risen, and death has conquered. Christ has taken the broken, used parts of our lives and turned them into something beautiful. I see this illustrated so beautifully in a man named Fabio Chavez, who started a music school in Paraguay. He saw that there were many more students than there was instruments. So with ingenuity and creativity, he started building instruments out of parts found in a local dump. They call themselves the Landfill Harmonic, and they actually make really good music. This is a clear example of taking something that we would see as broken, used up, gone, and someone breathing fresh life into it. That's what Christ's resurrection power does. When it comes into our lives and takes all parts of us and redeems it for his glory, he can make beautiful music out of our lives. Up on the screen in a moment, we're going to watch a video that captures how this resurrection power has changed people's lives, people right around us in the room. After the video, I'm going to give you a chance for anyone who wants to embrace this gift of forgiveness in Jesus, to see him as he truly is, our resurrected Lord and Savior. Doug Jackson is going to come and lead a song while this video plays. And what this video is, it's people in our congregation have taken some time to write something on a piece of cardboard. And it's something that they've been through, experienced, or struggled with. And then on the other side, they flip it around and they talk about how God, his resurrection power, has made a difference in their life now. And the song that Doug Jackson is going to sing is called "O Come to the Altar." Some of the lyrics say this: "Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling." And the chorus says, "O come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today. There's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling." I invite Doug up to play and lead this song. It's powerful stuff. So what do you see in the resurrection? If you're here today and you're visiting, or you've been exploring Christian faith for a while, and you feel like you have the desire to embrace this gift of grace found in Jesus Christ, then I'd like you to take a moment and pray a prayer with me just in your heart and in your mind. There's cards in the back of a lot of the chairs here that have a prayer that'll be up on the screen as well. And I just invite you to fill out, you know, your name on it and your email, and it'll only I will see it. Just so that I can contact you and celebrate your choice to follow Christ. And if there's somebody here who wants to write down a prayer on that as well, you can do that as well. Just if you want something that you want me to pray for, then you can write that as well. Up on the screen, and pray with me, and I'll invite you to do so. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you that you didn't stay dead, that you show that death has overcome, that eternity is forevermore, and that we have the chance to live in the present risenness of your resurrection power. So I thank you for that gift, that strength, that empowering Holy Spirit that lives within us as your followers. And Lord Jesus, I want to pray this prayer now for anybody who is seeking you and wanting to embrace you as their Lord and Savior. So I invite you to pray this in your heart or mind now. Jesus, I embrace you as my Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sin through the cross. Please help me to live in the power of your resurrection and love. In Jesus' name, amen.